Mightily to us the path of knowledge show, and teach us in her ways to go. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O
the Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
John said to the crowd that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children."
I would think that it would be very difficult to write a thoughtful letter from a prison cell. The clanking of the iron bars and the commands from the guards and the complaints from the prisoners and the cold stone walls and the lousy food, no comfortable desk or writing chair, it would be hard. But in spite of that, some of the greatest Christian letters have been written from prison. I'm thinking of Martin Luther King's letter from Birmingham jail and Dietrich Bonhoeffer's letters from prison. And today's epistle lesson, the letter to the Philippians from Paul, he wrote it from prison. What's especially remarkable about this letter is the warmth and the joy that radiates from this letter. The word joy is found 16 times in this very short epistle to the Philippians. Today's passage comes near the end of the letter. Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again I say, rejoice. He says, "Don't worry about anything, but let your requests be made known to God through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Now I wonder, how is it that Paul, who is a prisoner in a Roman prison, who may well be facing a death sentence, can write a letter that is so full of peace and joy? It might be because he's writing to his friends in Philippi. This is a church that he began when he met Lydia beside the stream and told her about Jesus, and the church grew from there. Paul visited Philippians, the church in Philippi, many times, and he has such a warm relationship with the people. It may be that as he's writing, he's thinking about the joy that he has from the people there. He says, "I constantly pray for all of you with joy in my heart." And he says, "I know that you hold me in your heart." So there's this warmth and affection between Paul and the people in Philippi. And maybe just by sitting down and writing about him, about them, he's able to feel a sense of joy. But I think it's more than that. In the letter, Paul says, he says, "I've become able to be content in all circumstances, whether I have a lot or whether I have very little. I can be content wherever I am." And he says, rejoice always, not just in the good times, but in the bad times too. Joy is something that Paul has, no matter where he is, and no matter what circumstances, no matter what his circumstances. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, don't forget the thanksgiving, make your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge of God. In other words, when you cast all your cares upon God, then you discover this deep peace and security in God. Sometimes we call that let go and let God. Cast all your cares on God and you will discover this peace. It's more than just a peace of mind or a passing peace, but it's a deep peace that passes all understanding. Some people say that we live in an age of anxiety. You know, we are constantly bombarded with information and we hear so much bad news all the time. How can we keep from living with anxiety and with worry? We have TMI, too much information. And it's that promise that Jesus gave us that we really want. He said at the Last Supper in the Gospel of John, peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. That's the peace that we all want. I was loaned a book called The Book of Joy a while back. It's a book about the 80th birthday of the Dalai Lama and his meeting with his good friend, the Archbishop of South Africa, Archbishop Desmond Tutu. These two old saints are good friends because they have so much in common. Of course, one is Buddhist and one is Christian, but they're great friends because they have so much in common. They're both men of prayer, and they both lived through periods of struggle in their lives. The Dalai Lama was the leader of his people in Tibet until he had to leave and spent more than 50 years in exile away from his people, helping them constantly with their struggle for independence. And Archbishop Tutu was the Archbishop of South Africa during the struggle against apartheid, and then he helped with the reconciliation process afterwards to make their nation whole again. They've both been through a lot. But both of them are famous for this inner joy and this peace that just radiates out from them. You can see it in their faces when you look at their photographs. Wonderful, saintly human beings. And when they got together for the birthday, they had a lot of people there and they were asked questions. There was several sessions. And they were asked, where do you get your joy from? And the Dalai Lama said, well, you know, we create most of our own suffering. And so we ought to be able to create the conditions for our joy as well. And he named three things that he thought were important. To be able to reframe a situation and look at it from a different point of view. To be able to experience gratitude and thankfulness, and to make a conscious choice to show love and compassion to others. Bishop Tutu said, you know, so often we're just seeking happiness, which is passing, but what we really want is joy, which is lasting. He said, it's like a woman in childbirth. While she's having the child, she's in pain, but afterwards, what she remembers is the joy of holding that child. The joy is what lasts. They both said that joy doesn't save us from suffering. The Dalai Lama remembered back in 2008 when there were violent protests in his country against the Chinese occupation. And he was upset by it, but what he did was he, in his meditation, try to visualize one of the Chinese policemen and their anger and their fear and their suspicion. And then he tried to take that same policeman and visualize him with compassion and forgiveness. He said it didn't change the situation on the ground, but it changed him and made him able to deal with this terrible situation in his country and gave him a sense of peace. And Desmond Tutu described what it was like for Nelson Mandela. He was in jail on an island for 27 years. And he could have become bitter and angry because of that exile and imprisonment. But what he did was he got to know his prison guards. He started talking to them, asking about their lives and their point of view. And because of that process, when he got out, he was able to lead his country in a period of reconciliation and to make their country whole again. Both of them said that when we are connected to God through compassion and through prayer, that is when we know the joy and peace of God. This morning we're going to baptize little Arya Grubb, and we are going to offer her to God and wish the best for her. We are going to pray, O Lord, deliver her from the way of sin and death. Open her heart to your grace and love. Fill her with your life-giving spirit and keep her in the faith and communion of your holy church. And we hope that she will grow up knowing that she is surrounded by love and that she's protected and safe wherever she is. And we hope and pray that she will be filled with the joy and peace of God. Amen.